Good morning.
Good morning, Teddy.
Good morning, Teddy.
What a wonderful God we serve.
Amen.
Those of you that have the handouts that, that for the take-homes, you can follow along with me. I'll be using that as the base to start with. But before I do, I just want to relate a few things that that's happening in around that we're seeing. And the Lord is showing us many different things, and it seems to be accumulating very quickly, some of the things that are happening. I know that there's a lot of folks out here that I hope will hear this and understand that the most important thing that we have to remember is there may seem to be that there's calamity going on around us. Many things that things are lining up for something bad or good, or they don't know what's happening, and there's some tribulation about that. I would just like to say this. Just please, please pray and know that Jesus Christ is in control.
Yes, He is.
And whatever is happening is under His direction. And man sometimes gets full of himself and thinks that he's all that he can do anything and that he can control destinies of the world, that he alone can clean up a planet or he alone can pollute a planet. I really hate that thought when people think that they have so much control that they control the entire planet. This planet is not in our control. The seas, the wind, the ocean, the currents of the ocean, tornadoes, hurricanes, you think we can control that? Next time a hurricane starts coming landfall, I would like for all humanity to line up on the beach and take a big deep breath and try to blow that hurricane down. What's going to happen? Not a thing. And even use their jet engines, even use their propellers, all mechanical things that they have to create wind to blow against that hurricane. Is it going to stop it? No. We really need to get ourselves lined up with the proper thinking that the only one that's in control is God. You know, there's a battle plan. And in the military, when we have a battle plan, it's something that's usually been worked out by pretty smart people, we hope, that put together a plan of how we are going to function. What is going to happen in this battle plan? What do we need to make this battle plan successful? What are the logistics? What materials do we need? How much manpower do we need? All these things are all part of a battle plan. Those are the material things that are part of the battle plan. Those are the hard fact hold on things like tanks, guns, bullets, bandages, all these things that are needed. As you can see, if you take a look at Zechariah 4:6, and this is from the Extended Bible, and if I mispronounce this word, I've asked several people the proper way to pronounce this word.
Zerubbabel.
Okay. Thank you. Then he told me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel.
Oh, perfect.
You will not you will not succeed by your own strength, or by your own power, not by the might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. All powerful, almighty,
yes,
of heaven's armies of hosts.
Yes, Lord.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot for our little mind to comprehend, that we are not as powerful as we think we are.
Mm-hmm.
That no matter what we do, the Lord's not in it, we're not to succeed. Now, many people believe that to survive in this world, a person must be tough, strong, unbending, and harsh. But God says, not by my might, nor by my power, but my spirit. The key words are, by my spirit. It's only through God's spirit that anything of lasting value is accomplished. As you live for God, pray to determine not to trust in your own strength or abilities. Instead, depend on God's work and the power of His Spirit. You know, recently I started the task about 3 months ago, it was 3 or 4 months, Carolyn, that I started swimming for an exercise. I know due to my disability of walking, I have to walk with the cane, but I know that my legs and knees and the bones of my legs are not as what they used to be. They're not as strong as they used to be. Because of this disease, it's really hampered my ability to walk long distances, and it's really hampered my ability to do strong things that I used to do, to be able to lift things, be able to lift weights, or to move heavy objects, or to push against things. I can't ride a bicycle because of my knees and my legs. I can't run. I can't walk for long distances for exercise. But the Lord didn't leave me out, because He knew in my heart that He had something for me that I was perfectly attuned to doing, and that's swimming. For many years, my wife and I were professional scuba instructors. We made our living from taking people into the ocean and teaching them how to scuba dive, and we had to be good swimmers. I went to the pool, I started swimming, and the first time I started swimming, I did one lap, came back, and my tongue was hanging out like a dog. I was panting. Man, I can't do this. This is rough. I am so out of shape. Even though round is a shape, I am really out of shape. But I prayed. I said, Lord, I've got to do this. This is all I've got left for exercise. This is all I can really do to make myself strong again. So I went back and I kept trying. I kept trying the next day. I finally, the next day and the day after that. Well, it was 4 months later, and Tuesday, when I went swimming, I completed the feat, which I've never done before, in modern day, in my modern day. I did this when I was diving and so forth. We probably swam the distance. But I swam 2 miles. Mm-hmm. Without stopping.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And I have been working my way up gradually. I started where I was swimming on time, swimming at Olympic pool, and we figured it out, and we talked to the lifeguards and talked to the pool manager about how many laps does it take to make a mile. What is a lap? A lap is all the way to the end of the pool, all the way back, this one lap. The lap is, it's 25 yards to go in one distance, 25 yards to come back. I average 2 laps a minute. It takes 92 laps to go a mile. If I'm doing 2 miles or 2 laps a minute and I go 92 minutes without stopping, I've swam 2 miles.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we figured out. First I was swimming 1 mile. I was swimming about 45, 50 to 60 and then to a mile. But I could not have done this. Because there's times when I want to quit. There's times when I'm swimming along and there's a voice saying, you can't do this anymore, you better quit.
Mm-hmm.
And things are being thrown at me, like my mask will fog up, or I'll inhale water through my snorkel, or I'll start getting a cramp, you know. And all these things I started looking at, this isn't right, because I'm going along good, I'm swimming fine, all of a sudden my mask fogs up or water gets in it, and I've got to clear that. Or water goes in my snorkel and I've got to blow that out. And all these things, a cramp will come up and so forth. But you know, I look at it this way. I said, you know, devil, you're trying to stop me. You're trying to stop me from what the Lord wants me to do. He wants me to get in shape. He wants me to get battle ready. And He's given me a way to do this. And I just thank God that He has.
Amen.
I just thank God that He has.
Amen.
It encourages me every morning to get up and go swim. And there's another guy that's swimming there also that I'd like to talk about. I'm not sure of his name. He doesn't speak English at all. But he's very inspirational to me. And he is huge. He weighs about 450 pounds.
Mm.
But he is there before I get there, and he's trying to swim. He does a backstroke. That's about all he can do.
Mm.
And he'll try to swim forward, but he doesn't go very fast, and he has to have those noodles, you know, those floating noodles to help him swim. But he's there every day trying. He's every day for a long, long time. And I had to try to tell him, and I had one of the lifeguards translate for me. She knows Spanish, and she was able to. And I just wanted to tell him, because I swim next to him, I say good morning to him every morning. I say goodbye before I leave. But I just wanted to tell him how much of inspiration he is to me.
Mm-hmm.
That he has, now he has a walker that he has to walk out to get to the pool. And it's very hard for him to go down that ramp into the pool and to come back up. But he's swimming. And he's swimming. Now yesterday when I swam, there were some younger people there that were like, you know, they were like hot rods, down the pool and back. There's no way I can keep up with them. So I just keep going. I just keep going at my same pace, make sure I get that pace so I can get that distance. But you know, within 20 minutes or so, they're gone. They leave the pool.
And you're still there.
They're done, and I'm still going.
Uh-huh.
And I look over, and so is my friend in the other lane. He's still going.
Mm-hmm.
He's still going. Yesterday when we left the pool, I finished my laps, and he was still going.
Mm-hmm.
I finished 2 miles, and he was still going. And he was going before I got there.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
And that's when I had to tell the other fellow that he was my inspiration, that he's really inspiring me. You see, some people are fast, can swim fast. A dolphin swims pretty fast, you know. Then you have myself, as more like a manatee, I guess. I can get there, you know, it's going to take a while, but I can get there.
Mm-hmm.
And go kind of a long distance. But probably, yeah, I'm close to being a manatee. And then you have other people that float along, but still try to propel themselves, as this other man does. I started thinking, what's the most important thing here in life? Is it how fast you can get through it? How fast you can go from one end to the other and back? Is that important to God? Is that skill important? Well, yeah, I guess if you want to get someplace fast, you'd want to be in a speedboat, right? Now, it's not important to get there fast, but it's a long distance to get there, what are you going to do? Well, you probably want something that's going to be maybe not as fast as a big speedboat, maybe something that's going to go out there and be able to go through the deep waves, but keep chugging along, more or less like a tugboat, a seagoing tugboat. So that's what I kind of... Yeah, okay, I'm a seagoing tugboat.
Yeah.
I'm going to get there. It's going to take a while. But you know what? When I get there, guess what? If there's somebody in trouble, I can hook a line to them and bring them with me.
Yeah, you can be trusted.
I'm going to get there if I can. And then there's the other case. Now, what if I get there and something happens? My skill of being able to swim all those laps in that distance, is that going to help me in a survival mode? What if my engine quits? Then I look over to the man that was swimming on the other lane. He can go for a long, long time. Is it better to be able to swim and get to a destination, or is it better to be able to, once you get to that destination, if something happens, that you're going to survive while you're there? He could probably outlast me in the water and keep moving, because he's there for hours and hours. That's my inspiration. I want to be able to be there with the Lord for the long haul.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I want to be there for the long haul with him. So what do I have to do? Not just slow myself down, no, but realize that just the skill of getting there is not the thing. It's sustaining yourself while you're there. Staying in the presence of the Lord. Staying strong in him. We'll talk about strength in just a minute also. I'd also like to say, you know, although God asks us to do our part, we should remember that He is not limited to human effort. God often chooses to work through people, but only because it's good for them. He can accomplish his own purpose without any help from us if he chooses. You are very important to God, but on your own you have neither the ability to fulfill nor the power to disrupt God's plans.
Mm-hmm.
We're not all that.
That's right.
We can't control the weather. We can't control the climate. It's not with our reach to do it. We can stop polluting the waters, of course, around. We can clean things up a little bit. But are we going to change the planet? No. The only one who's going to change this planet is Lord Jesus Christ. And it's up to him. See, that's where they trap us. They get us into this global thing. Well, if we all get together, we can do anything.
Mm-hmm.
No, you can't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if everybody got together, like my early example, you're not going to be able to blow that hurricane down. Also, I started, this was very important to me, in Philippians 2, 3 through 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Those of us that believe in Jesus Christ, those of us that have been changed by him, need to reach out for those around us. We need to take care of each other. We need to be there for each other. We need to spread that gospel, which is so important.
Mm-hmm.
Pray for God's guidance and direction before you act on your own. And most importantly, pray for his Spirit, his most powerful Holy Spirit. This is the winning way. That is, this is God's battle plan. In Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. No, this promise isn't for everybody. It can only be attained by those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Those who are called are those the Holy Spirit convinces and enables to receive Christ. Such people have a new perspective, a new mindset on life. They trust in God, not in life's treasures. They look for their security in heaven, not on earth. They learn to accept, not resent pain and persecution because God is with them. A lot of people will let pain turn them into a bitter person.
Mm-hmm.
They will let discomfort turn them bitterly. No, I'm not going to resent pain. I'll accept it. And I'll accept it because God is with me. He's showing me through the pain that I can still achieve some incredible goals. And he's showing me through this pain that I have that he's going to do remarkable things with me to be able to testify on his behalf. It's been 3 years, almost 3 years since I was diagnosed with this. And we were told by the VA, by the head orthopedic surgeon, that there's nothing they can do. What was the prognosis? He said, first of all, pain, then a walker, then a wheelchair. He said that 3 years ago. What am I supposed to be at this time in 3 years, Karen? What did he say? A walker at least, right? Heading toward the wheelchair. No, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. No, I'm swimming 2 miles a day. I'm getting stronger.
Yes, sir.
Not weaker. My legs are getting stronger. The pain is still there, but my legs are stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because the Spirit of God is in me. His strength is in me. His strength is saying, I'm going to use you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to use you as an example. You know, I've been very blessed this past week. As I said before, for many years as a master scuba instructor, we spent a lot of time in the water. Past Monday, the Tampa police dive team was at our swimming pool that I go and work at. And sheepdogs are funny people, and police are sheepdogs. And most times, sheepdogs don't really talk to other people unless you're a sheepdog, right? So the manager of the pool, they closed the pool at 12 o'clock and told me, you know, and everybody has to leave. And the manager walked over to me and says, "Ted, you can stay."
Yeah.
I said, "Well, that's great." And then, so I was able to just sit down. I sat down in a chair. I was done with my laps. And I saw the dive team bringing in all their gear. And I was looking at the gear and just being quiet and watching put everything all set up. They're close to me. They're within, you know, with the arm's distance of putting all the gear up. I'm sitting there against the fence, and they're hanging their backpacks against the fence and so forth. And one guy walked by, and I noticed he had what we call a pony tank, which was it's a separate tank from the main tank, but it was upside down attached to his main tank. And I thought maybe it had a different mixture, what we call nitrox, which is a mixture. I don't want to get too technical, but it's a different type of air mixture used for extended deep diving. And I asked him, is he using nitrox in that pony bottle? And he looked at me like, first of all, I identified it as the pony bottle, then I used the word nitrox, and then, and he said, "Oh, you a diver?" I said, "Yeah." And before long, we started talking about technical things and so forth, and I told him, yes, I'm a retired master scuba instructor and instructor trainer. And right away, the ice was broken. We started talking. Just like when people talk to Drew, when he's out there, and they find out that, he's a former Sergeant Major Green Beret, the ice is broken. The sheepdogs will talk to you. You're part of them.
Amen.
Well, the head of the dive team, we started talking and so forth, and I walked over, and he was over by the diving boards. I just came over and I said, "I just wanted to thank you for what you guys are doing. I know you don't get much of a thanks, but I know how dangerous your job is. And your diving is not clear water, let's go see the pretty fish diving. Mm-hmm. It's dark, going into holes, no visibility, feeling around for whatever they're looking for, which could be bodies or whatever." And he said, "Well, thank you." And we started talking a little bit. He says, and he asked me, I said, "Well," he asked me what I do. I said, "Besides swim," I said, "I'm associate pastor at a little church right over here in Forest Hills." And one of the other guys said, "Yeah, that's my area. I know where that is. I know where that is." And he looked at me and he said, "You know, there's a reason you're over here talking to me today. God sent you over here to talk to me." And we started talking, and he was telling me he is an Army veteran and that he is seeing a lot of calls that the police are doing where there's veterans out there that are having trouble. Their hearts are broken. They just think that everything that they did is, you know, when it comes to Afghanistan and Iraq, that everything they've done was for nothing. That all the blood and sacrifice is being given away. Nobody understands that. That their buddies were killed in some of these towns that are now just being taken over and overrun. And the horrible thing about it is being overrun using the same equipment that we had. Using our own equipment and so forth against us. And he said, "Nobody really understands that." I said, "I do." And he said, "How's that?" I said, "Simple. Saigon. Cameron Bay. Quezon. Tansanut." And he stopped dead in his tracks. He said, "You do know what it means, don't you?" And I said, "Yes, I do. There's a wall of 58,400 names of my brothers and my generation that had the same sacrifice." And he stopped and he said, I want your card. I want to talk to you. I want to have some coffee with you, because there's not too many chaplains or pastors out there that these guys will listen to. And I said, well, we have a church that they can listen to. I told them about Drew. I told them about Mark. I told them about Linda. I told them about the wonderful folks that are here at this church that will open our hearts to them. Because you know what? We've been there. We saw it. We lived through it. And that we are so blessed that the Lord is opening up a new opportunity for us. In Philippians 3:14, if I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus, I press on toward that goal to win that prize. Don't dwell on your past. We all at some point have done things for which we were ashamed of. And we worry about it. What we have and what we want to be. But because of our hope in Christ, we can let go of the past guilt and look forward to what God will help us become. This message is for, I want to direct it right to the sheepdogs out there. You know who you are. God will help you. He will help you grow in the knowledge by consecrating you and your relationship to Him. Realize that you are forgiven. Then move on to a life of faith, obedience. Look forward to a fuller and more meaningful life because of your hope in Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is faithful.
Yes.
He is going to help you. Mm-hmm. He's going to change you into what He wants you to be. Mm-hmm. And that is the best that you could ever, ever hope to accomplish. Because you can't do it on your own.
Mm-hmm.
2 Thessalonians 2:14. He has called you to this through our gospel that you might share in the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel, the Bible, is the best way to start. Read it. If you don't understand it, find a Bible study. Come to our church here. Come to our Bible class or our Sunday school. We'd be more than happy to help explain. We have some very learned people here. We have some very, very open hearts that have been changed by God. 1 Peter 5:10. And the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory, after you have suffered a little while, will Himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. He's going to give you strength. He's going to make you strong. He's going to strengthen you that you can accomplish what He wants you to do. Here's the rub. Get you out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Open your heart, open your mind to what God's plan for you is. Don't think it's all that your plan is supposed to be. Don't think that you're going to accomplish this, that you're going to do this. No. Give that up. Let His plan work for you. Strength. Strength is so important. We can go through the entire Bible and it tells us about strength and how the Lord strengthens us and how we become strong and the power of the Lord. And you know, I'm going to take a few minutes here. I'm going to kind of go through the entire Bible in a real small segment of time just on that word, strength, and what He tells us. And what I want you to notice is that this goes from Exodus all the way to Revelations. And I want you to notice how God somehow, when I put this together, and I saw and I read through it, and I came back through it, and then I saw the very last verses in Revelation. He knew all this before he wrote it down. He knew what he wanted me to say. He knew this. He had a beginning, he had a middle, and he shows us the end. Exodus 15:2. I'll go through these pretty quick. So if you want these at a later date, I'll write them all down for you and let you have them. Exodus 15:2. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise Him, my Father God, and I will exalt Him. Exodus 15:13. Continuing on the going through the Bible and talking about strength. Exodus 15:13. If your unfailing love, in your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. Deuteronomy 6:5. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength. Deuteronomy 33:25. The bolts of your gates will be iron and bronze, and your strength will equal your days. My faith is like the iron that's in this passage, the iron that's on that gate. And through His light, He's making me bronze. Judges 15:19. Then God opened up the hollow place in Lehi, and the water came out of it. When Samson drank, his strength returned, and he revived. So the spring was called in Haku, and is still there in Lehi. My swimming has strengthened me, as the springs have revived Samson. Job 4:3. Think how you have instructed many, how you have strengthened feeble hands. Job 4:4. Your words have supported those who stumbled. You have strengthened faltering knees. And moi, me. Job 9:19. It's a matter of strength. He is mighty. And if it's a matter of justice, who can challenge Him? Isaiah 12:2. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord Himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Isaiah 28:6. He will be the spirit of justice to the one who sits in judgment, a source of strength to those who turn back the battle at the gate. You're in the battle coming. And He will be the strength that protects that gate.
Mm-hmm. Yes, He will.
Through Him, we will conquer. We will survive. Isaiah 40:26. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, who created all of this. He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of His great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Isaiah 40:29. He gives strength to the weary, increases the power of the weak. Isaiah 40:31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not be faint. Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. How about let's go to the New Testament. Mark 12:30. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. Mark 12:33. To love Him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. Luke 10:27. He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. In Luke 22:32, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail, And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. We need to strengthen each other here. We need to support each other. In Luke 22:43, an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. In Romans 4:20, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. 1 Corinthians 1:25, for the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. 1 Corinthians 14:3, but the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Ephesians 1:19, and his incomparably great power is for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength. Ephesians 3:16, I pray that out of the glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Philippians 4:13, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Colossians 1:11, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. He gives me the endurance to swim the...
Yes, he does.
Colossians 2:7, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Above all, stay thankful. Stay thankful. Whatever the task is, however hard that task is, and you're plodding along and trying to complete it, be thankful that you have that task. Be thankful that the Lord has put you right where you are, right at that time of day, right at that particular second, and has given you the next breath that you take. Be thankful. 1 Thessalonians 3:13. May he strengthen your heart so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of God. And Father, when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. What a day. What a day that's going to be. 2 Thessalonians 2:17. Encourage your heart and strengthen you in every good deed and word. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. That's important.
What was that scripture?
That was Thessalonians 3:3.
Thank you.
1 Timothy 1:12. Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength, that has considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his services. I know that the Lord's going to strengthen me. I know that he has a purpose for me. And just that confidence in the Lord doesn't mean that I'm going to be brash about it, but I'm going to be bold about it. I'm going to be bold and stand in front of anybody that says there is no God, anybody that stands and says, I don't know what to do, I'm going to boldly go out and I'm going to tell them there is hope. I'm going to tell them there is a way. There is a way in this life. Second Timothy 4:17. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. I don't know how many times I've been in a peril position where the lion was there to take me. That lion being the devil that wanted to take my soul. The lion that tempted me to do things that I shouldn't have done, be at places I shouldn't have been. I couldn't count. It's endless. But I do know this. Because of the Lord having a plan for me, knowing before I was even born that he had a plan for me. Hebrews 11:34. Quench the fury of the flames. and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. That sounds like a battle plan. That sounds like something that we may have to do. In Hebrews 12:12, therefore strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. 1 Peter 4:11. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. And finally, in Revelations, did I tell you that through all this, the Lord is going to close it for us? Revelations 7:12, saying, amen, praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength to be our God forever and ever. Amen. I know that those that are listening and those here in our church can feel in their hearts how they've been changed by the Holy Spirit. Those who've accepted Jesus Christ. Those that are out there, they're still thinking that they can do it on their own, that they're a warrior, that all their training, all their skills and so forth, that they're going to get through life and it'll be no problem. That they are prepared for anything and everything, are fooling themselves. They have prepared for nothing. They may think that they've stockpiled their ammunition, that they've stockpiled their food, that they've fortified their positions, but they have an unfortified and unprotected heart. Mm-hmm. That's why the battle plan is to pray. The battle plan is to pray for God's strength and direction. The battle plan is to pray and accept Jesus Christ as the supreme commander of all commanders, as the king of all kings, as one that has made the battle plan, because he has already done the battle plan, and guess what? He won. And we will win too. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to share. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that dwells in this building and dwells in our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful week that you set ahead of us, that each step that we take, or each lap that we swim, or each person that we meet, that glory of you shines through us, and that those that we come across, we ask you, Lord, that if you choose, bring those that need to hear the word. Bring those to us that you want us to minister to. Reach those that are out there, Lord, even through the internet, through the sermons, through the pamphlets that go out. Lord, we ask you to use us, Lord, to reach and to save and to glorify your name. As we pray, Lord, we pray for our country. We pray, Lord, that we were able to turn around this terrible direction that is going. That you turn it around, Lord. That you make it be in your glory. That you bring the miracles that will show those of the non-believers and of those that scoff your name the power and the strength of your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.